Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
I believe that when I talk about identity, and we get into this concept of identity in Christ, there is a powerful thing that the Lord is trying to do and that the Lord wants to do. I'm missing my main page, so hold on one moment. All right. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start there today, and we're going to work through some concepts. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I've known somebody who had been to church for, and they'll have a chance to tell their story, but they've been in church and gone to church and done church since they were 19 years old, and in their 50s, finally gave their life to Jesus. Does that feel odd? It feels odd to say something like that. Like, oh man, I have been working tirelessly in the church. I have been doing all of this stuff and trying really hard to get all this stuff right. And I didn't know Jesus. So I'm not going to assume because you're here that you know Jesus. You know that you know Jesus when you know that you know Jesus. There's something really powerful to an encounter with the living God. And without an encounter with the living God, you have a principle, you have a set of beliefs, you have a something that you are choosing to live your life by. But when you have an encounter with Jesus, he gives you a new insight. He gives you a new want to. He gives you a new desire to do things that you can't do on your own. And then his grace comes upon you. His grace comes, and grace is more than unmerited favor. It's an actual empowerment to do the things that you can't do on your own. This is where in the scripture it says that Paul's complaining about this thorn in the flesh, and the response is, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's because there is a tangible presence of God that moves us and shifts us and shapes us into being like Jesus. You cannot do that on your own. No matter how hard you try. So when we consider the gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, it's that simply, I am a foreigner to God. I do not know God personally before Jesus. I might have all the right teaching, doctrine, principles. I may get all of that right. And yet, unless I know him, I don't know him. Scariest scripture in all of the Bible is when he says, you're going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, you know, we did this in your name, we did this in your name, we did this, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's scary, scary place to stand. But the truth is that Jesus is at your door, and he is knocking, and he wants you to let him in. He wants you to receive his love, to receive his forgiveness, to receive his grace. There is an empowerment that comes when you know Jesus, where those things that you could not do before, that sin that you were not able to overcome before, God comes in and he empowers you with a grace to actually overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, not your want to. Now, you got to have a want to. And that's really nice because when Jesus comes in, he starts giving you a new want to. Part of understanding the gospel is that you are not the same when you meet Jesus. You are not the same person anymore. Many of us have this sense of, I'm trying really hard to please God, and I'm struggling, and I'm failing, and I'm not sure. And I you know, some people, it's like, well, if I just fix this or fix this, and then everything's going to be okay. Listen, Jesus comes in the midst of your chaos, breathes a storm to quietness inside of you. He will calm the storm in you so that you can go through that situation in peace and in his presence. See, it's not about your striving. It's not about how hard we go after it that changes us. It's actually receiving his love, receiving what he's done for us on the cross that changes us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verses 3 through 6. I'm going to read out of the New King James. So if you have your Bibles, go and open them up. If you're a note taker, I definitely think taking notes helps you cement the Word of God inside of you. And while you're pulling that up, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you are doing today, that you are the God who gives good news, and that the good news is of your Son Jesus that came and died on the cross to rescue us from every failure, from every sickness and disease, to rescue us from all of our striving. And God, you've come so that we might have an abundant life with you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to suffer and die, so that I do not have to bear the torment and the punishment of my own sin. Amen. God, I pray that you would just release every captive today. Father, if there's anyone who's believed lies about who they are, God, that would be just revealed, and that would be turned away from quickly and easily, and the truth of what your word says about us would come to light and life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Say heavenly places. In Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him, in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I believe that this passage actually holds some foundational truths about the good news of Jesus Christ, about the gospel, that we need to begin to embrace a little more heartily as we walk with God. So we're going to break down a couple of things here. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Past tense. Right. Who has blessed us. One of the keys, I believe, to living a successful and a fruitful life in Christ is recognizing that he's already blessed you. Yes. You've already been blessed. He's already given you every spiritual blessing. It's already poured out. The devil wants you to strive to earn God's blessing. He already did it. It's already done. So as a son of God, because we'll get to Romans 8 in just a moment, but there's this identity that we can carry where he's already blessed me. Therefore, all I'm doing in my day to day is learning how to walk in the blessing that he's already given. We learn how to walk in the blessing that he's already given us. Now, you would say, Pastor, but you haven't seen my life. You don't know how hard my struggles are. You don't know how intense my life is. You don't know what our financial situation's like. You don't know what my health is like. What do you mean? He's already blessed me. Yes. See, the work of the cross took sin, shame, and the scriptures teach very strongly he took death and disease. He took this stuff on himself in a moment on the cross, and in that place, he paid for it for us. So, how many of you have heard of girl math? Okay, it's this thing going around Instagram, TikTok, all these places. It's pretty hilarious. Okay, now this is not a knock on women. The women are the ones who put this out there. So I'm just saying the girl math thing has been really funny to me. Because they're like, how can we figure out how to make a really expensive purchase and justify it in a way that makes it make a lot of sense to me? So for example, the gals wants to buy a set of really nice linen king size sheets, and then these girls on, it's on a radio show, and these girls kind of go back and forth, and they're like, oh, well, if you count each layer, it's only this much per layer, and then you get down to the thread count, you're only spending like 0.09 cents a thread, you know, like they get out, like it's practically free, you know, and how many nights are you sleeping on it versus a whole trip to Egypt to get Egyptian cotton, like, you know, I mean, coming up with all types of crazy stuff to justify the purchase with girl math. It's hilarious. If you Google girl math, you'll be cracking up. I was in tears on a couple of them. They're just so funny, right? And the guys are like, this makes no sense at all. Like one of the funny ones was like, if I have cash in my pocket, it's basically free. Because I'm not pulling money out of the account. I already got it. So if I spend it, it's basically free. And, oh, if I return something, like I bought a nice blouse and I return a blouse for $100, that's free money. I already said I got an extra $100 now. Or if I didn't do the thing I planned to do, now all of a sudden I've got extra money to go do something else. Right? These weird justifications, okay? And I know in North Idaho we have practical women here, and that would not apply to anybody here. Okay, I'm just going to state that clearly. I understand. I'm talking about a whole different universe of women. Okay, so the thing with girl math that cracks me up is that they're working really hard to justify the payment, to justify a reason why it's free or why they should have that thing that they want. Well, the amazing thing in Christ is you never have to justify what he paid for. You don't have to try and figure out a way to make the blood of Jesus more free to you. Oftentimes, what we try to do is say, well, I can stand in grace because I performed really well today. I've been in my Bible, I've been studying, and yes, go do that, okay? But we will use it as an excuse to think that somehow now I have more favor with God because I did these things. But he already blessed you. It's already paid for. There's no weird math that you have to do to try and come up with why God would want to bless you. He's already blessed you. Now, I think it's important to understand that he has already blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. How many of you know that Jesus, that God, transcends the natural? Amen. Okay. He transcends it. We have to begin to embrace in our natural mind, in our soul, right? So how many of you know we are it's called tripart beings. Yeah. We are tripart beings. That means that we have a spirit, right? And you can look in 1 Thessalonians 4:23, right? And it just breaks this down, spirit, soul, and body, that we are tripart beings, right? We have a spirit, right? And then we have a soul, and then we have a physical body. Okay, this is common classical theology. I'm not preaching something crazy. Okay, we have a spirit, soul, and a body. Now, with that, our spirit is fully connected with the Holy Spirit when we come to Christ. This is one of my favorite ways to share the gospel with New Agers. This is actually how I shared the gospel with my wife on our first date. Because she wasn't a believer. But God had my radar up that she was probably the one. Serious. So, very simply, because of sin, because of the fall, and because of evil, because of all this stuff that happened, our spirits are broken. And our spirits are so far away from the Creator, from the one who made us, from the one who wanted us to live whole in every part of our lives. Jesus came to repair the spiritual break so that I could be in God's presence and his presence could be in me. And now he dwells in me and I am in him. And there's a perfect union between me and God now because Jesus came to fix that break in the spirit. And she's crying. She never had heard, she grew up in Lutheran church, never heard that that was the issue. One of the powerful things about sharing the gospel like that is that we all know that we're broken. We all know that there's an area in our life that is broken and needs God. Everyone. So knowing that I've got a spirit, and when God comes in me and he repairs that spirit, and I now have a new lifeline, I now have a new source of life in me. So the spirit now is in me, and what is he doing? He is healing my emotions. He is healing my physical body. He is healing the rest of me because the spirit makes me whole. Through the blood of Jesus, as I receive that by faith, now the spirit has healed my spirit. And it's weird. It says that Colossians 3 says that I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. Like I'm seated in heavenly places and I need to actually make sure my mind is thinking about things where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I'm seated there with him at the same time that I'm sitting here, standing here talking to you. Right. Now, why is this important? Because when it says that every spiritual blessing has been poured out, he's saying that I am pouring every blessing through the Spirit to you. It's a spiritual blessing. All of the blessings of God, every spiritual blessing is coming through you. It's coming through you by the power of the Spirit. Now, God is outside of nature. He spoke it and it was created. Nature is not God. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. So there's this powerful place for us to recognize that with every spiritual blessing that I'm receiving, he is healing and working things out inside of me. Why? So that I might look like Jesus. Amen. Representing him to the world, which Kevin talked about earlier. So when it says that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, that's actually a tangible thing for us to receive here. Does that make sense? Okay. Now it says that you were chosen. So first thing that we wanted to grab out of this passage, number one, you were blessed. You're already blessed. He's already blessed you. Number two, he chose you. He chose you. He chose you. He saw you and he started pulling on that soul, pulling on your spirit, saying, come see me, come find me, right? He's saying, cut, like he's drawing us in. He chose you. I really lean heavily on passages like I think it's 2 Peter 4 that says that he wishes that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. I am not of the camp Just to be really clear, if there's a, we talk about predestination and we talk about being chosen, God's will is that none should perish and all should come to repentance. That he is not saying, and I think you got to really do a lot of circular reasoning. This is why, Lord, help me have grace on this one. When you have to look at the whole of Scripture to actually exegete one passage. And there's a school of thought that says you should exegete, which means that you're going to pull out from the text the meaning of the text. Right? Exa means to pull out, right? And so we want to pull out the meaning of the text, but you cannot do that without the whole narrative, and you cannot do it without the whole of everything that the Lord has already spoken. Okay? So when you get stuck in some spots, and there's a whole very large Christian camp today that's very strong on this concept that if you're predestined, then you're predestined. And if you're not, you're actually appointed to go burn. And that's God's will for your life. And it just misses the narrative. It misses the power of the blood of Jesus. I do not believe in limited atonement. I believe that there is an unlimited amount of atonement. The more I've studied some of that theology, it really comes out of 4th century Greek thought at the time that influenced the church very heavily. Okay, so there is no limit to what the blood can do. Amen. Now I could break down Calvin's tulip for you, the 5-point Calvin. I'm not interested in that today. But I do want to say this. He chose you. He formed you in the womb, and he knew you before you were born. Amen. He has a plan and a destiny for your life to fulfill his will. So let's read the scripture. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. So what are you chosen? You're chosen. God chose you, but he chose you to represent him. You're chosen to be holy. You're chosen to be blameless. You're chosen to do it all in love. So, verse 5, he says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The Lord has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in spiritual blessings in heavenly places, which we can receive today because our spirits are in heaven and our spirit is at work in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and our spirit become one. There's a literal union that should happen between you and the Holy Spirit where you can hear his voice, where you can actually read scriptures and have it light up inside of you and you feel it. Anybody ever sing a song and it makes you cry, right? It's because your spirit and your soul are having a talk. Right? But if your soul's in charge, then you got a problem, and then you're ran by your emotions instead of by the Spirit, right? And then that's the Galatians 5, the works of the flesh end up, the fruit of the flesh ends up looking like adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcerers, hatred, right? Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, right? We like to talk about, you know, drunkenness, heresies, revelries. But no, selfish ambition is a fruit of the flesh. Yeah. Right? So, and the like, it finishes off there. But, you know, when we talk about the fruit of the flesh, it's because our soul's in charge, but we need the Spirit to be influencing our soul more than anything else in our life. So we actually need to begin to filter out what we're feeling and what we're sensing and what we're seeing by the Spirit. We need to come to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm feeling this. What are you saying? What are you doing? There is a deep connection between you and the Lord God himself who is residing in the earth today in the form of the Holy Spirit. So it's good to say, Holy Spirit, what do you think? It's good to have these conversations. I'm feeling this. God, what are you saying? Right? And sometimes you'll get triggered by something. You'll get annoyed, frustrated. Well, all right, Lord, what is that? Why am I feeling upset? Why am I annoyed? Why is that? Lord, will you show me and teach me? Because I know that you have every spiritual blessing in store for me. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Okay, so are you following me? So when we understand the fullness of the gospel, we know that we're chosen. We know that we're blessed. The reality is that he's adopted you as a son. Yes, he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Yes, he's chosen for you to represent him to the world. That's his perfect and good will for every single human being on the planet to be one who experiences his love and represents him to the rest of the world. So, it is God's good pleasure, it's the good pleasure of his will that you are adopted to become a son of God. He finds pleasure in you as a son. It's the good pleasure of his will that you become a son. It's his good pleasure. He enjoys the idea of you being his son. He enjoys it. He wants that for you. It is so much bigger than a title or a position. There is a relationship that plays out when you are a son that you will never have unless you're a son. How many of you have been watching all the hubbub in college football this year? There's only one story of all of college football this year, and his name is Deion Sanders. Okay, Deion Sanders was one of the greatest, probably the greatest defensive back of all time, and he was amazing. He played two pro sports. He played baseball, went to World Series playing baseball, been to Super Bowls playing football. And he had three sons and one daughter. And his three sons, of course, guess what they're going to play? Sports, right? Well, they end up playing sports, and they're playing football, and he ends up being their coach in Pee Wee, right? Because the guy, he's one of the highest level professionals, one of the best, like people will say, best overall athlete maybe that ever lived. Okay, like he's phenomenal. He's a believer, right? And he holds it down. When he goes on podcasts, you'll never hear a bad word come out of his mouth, right? He's just solid like that. So what's interesting is he's known for being flashy and making bold statements, and he doesn't care what the media thinks about him, right? Well, now he goes from Pee-wee, and then he's coaches in high school, coaches his sons all through high school. And then he gets a job a couple of years ago. Now his sons are going to college. And so he ends up getting hired by Jackson State University, one of the oldest HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities in America, which has produced like over 70 NFL athletes. I mean, it's a big deal. This HBCU, Jackson State, is a big deal for coaching and that stuff. And so he takes that, ends up going and winning a national championship in that division, right, last year. And then he gets hired this year at Colorado University in Boulder. Well, he shows up to Boulder, and he just basically guts the entire team because last year they were 1-11. He brought on 86 brand new players that transferred in from all over to play with him. And guess who the starting quarterback is? His son, right? His son is now the starting quarterback. There's something really special about how The son talks about his dad, and the dad talks about his son. And it's super fun to watch the conversation. He says every time that they go on a field, he walks down. They walk down. They have this tradition where he takes his son, the quarterback, and they walk all the way down to the end zone as father and son. And then when they hit the end zone, it's coach and player. And they come back, and now it's coach and player. Right? And it's cool because actually, like, all of their top players call Deion Sanders their father. And he's like, he's like a son to me. He's a son to me. He's a son. And he says it about everybody. He's instilling this concept of sonship to these 19, 20, 21-year-old men. It's really beautiful. Of course, nobody expected him to win their first game against, you know, last year the Texas Christian University Horned Frogs were in the national championship, and they were expected to just get routed, and they ended up beating them in Texas, and then they come back this last week and beat Nebraska, and all the experts are scratching their head, right? There is a relationship that a father and a son should have that is transparent and makes the world go, I want that. There is a relationship that you should have with your father as a son that makes the world go, I want that. There's an intimacy where the father is training you and prepping you and saying, hey, we're just going to practice this today, and then now it's your turn. Go do it. It's the good pleasure of his will that you are adopted as a son. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
No, that's good. All right, Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Remember, we just were talking about this. Living according to the flesh is living by the impulses of what you're feeling and what you think you need to do. So often the impulses of the flesh, being led by your flesh, means that you're experiencing tension inside that you don't know what to do with. And so some guys experience this and they will go look at pornography to get a release or an escape from the tension. This is why I drank so heavily for so long. I had to get rid of all the tension, and I could just let loose, get a bit hammered, let all of my ambitions go, be no longer reserved, and for a little bit, I'd feel comfortable in my skin. For those of you that don't know my story, I've got a long history of drug and alcohol abuse and addiction in my history. Okay, so I would do that for the sake of getting rid of the tension that was in me. The shame that I was feeling, the guilt that I was walking in. Because my father got saved when I was 2 and he hammered the truth into me. So now I have to deal with it. Right? One of the realities is that we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You will die. If you live according to the flesh, you're dead spiritually. Listen to this. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Passion Translation, it's not really a translation, but it's just called the Passion Translation. So the Passion Translation says it this way. For those who are led by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. See, in our flesh, we'll feel triggered, we'll feel something, and I'll have an impulse to go do something that is either not going to honor the Lord or end up being bad for me and the people around me, or even dishonor God. And so we then pushed by the flesh. And if we do that, we're going to die. But if we are led by the impulses of the Holy Spirit, you will live. This is very, very clear. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, is that you don't have to be led by your soul and you don't have to be led by your flesh. You now have the opportunity to be fully led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I said this to a friend the other day, the Holy Spirit is going to tell your soul, should be telling your soul what to do. Now, you are a full autonomous being. We're not robots, right? We have free will. We have this ability to pick and choose what we're going to listen to, where we're going to go, what movie am I going to watch. I'm excited for the new Loki series to come out. I'm a big Marvel fan. I'll enjoy that stuff. But, you know, it's like I've got choices in what I'm going to do every day. He's not sitting in heaven going, okay, now turn left. He's not. So intimacy with God is about understanding what the Spirit is saying to you on a moment-by-moment basis. Because the Spirit may say, shut the TV off, I'm waiting. Don't scroll anymore on Instagram, I'm waiting. You should apologize to your wife, I'm waiting. So the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, but he gives you free will and choice. This is not a robotic thing. To be a son is that you're listening to the impulses of the Spirit and you do it. You follow through. You listen and obey what the Lord has for you. Now, guess what? That's hard. Guess what? That actually often will press against an area in you that you're like, but I don't want to do that. I've tried that before. It didn't work out well, God. Yeah, and this is where grace comes in. Because he's here to empower you to do things you can't do on your own. He's here to give you peace in places that you didn't think that there could be peace there. Now, I love this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive, say receive. The spirit of bondage again to fear. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Jesus said hard things when he walked on the earth and he talked with his disciples. He said hard things. You can't have any part of me unless you're willing to take up your cross daily. That's a tough one. You have to crucify your flesh with its passions and desires. Jesus is the one who said that. Jesus said it. Someone has something against you, you go, before you worship me, before you come to me, you go take care of that first. Jesus said that. But Jesus, I just want to experience your goodness before I do the hard thing. We do that. But he's got hard words for us. But he doesn't leave you as an orphan to figure it out on your own. So he gives us things that he says, listen, I want you to crucify your flesh because, listen, I want you to be able to hear and be led by the Spirit. And let me just tell you, if you're not clear morally about what is right and wrong, I just encourage you to read the Scriptures. We believe so strongly the Bible is God's handbook for life. There is no issue outside of the scope of the Scriptures. None. And we need it today more than ever. The grounding and the foundation of how God made us, how he created us, the way that he wants to live and operate. It's all revealed in the Scriptures. So if you're lacking clarity, seek out the Scriptures. But as sons, you don't have to be afraid. Let me read this again. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Notice he says receive. Receive. Wait, we said that earlier, didn't we? We talked about receiving. For God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, chosen for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, having been predestined, us to adoption, that he has blessed us, he has given us every spiritual blessing. How many of you enjoy Christmas? It's right around the corner, right? I know, I said it. It's September 10th, okay? I just said Christmas in a sermon. Everybody just twitched. It's too early. It's too soon. I mean, they play Christmas music at Walmart before Halloween now, you know. Like, what? Christmas is coming. Now, how many of you enjoyed Christmas morning as a kid? Some of you might be like, I hated it, but I think most kids enjoy Christmas morning. I think most parents want to make Christmas morning fun for their kids. I know I do, right? Sometimes, you know, maybe you had a good year. Okay, maybe there was a good year. When you come down the stairs as a child, you will see the tree and it's decked out. Maybe you had fun with the family and you were putting all the ornaments on it. I was finding a word, ornaments. Okay, and we tried tinsel a couple of years until our cat ate it, and that was bad. And then, you know, so you've got your Christmas tree with all the beautiful things on the tree, and underneath it, you come down, and what's underneath it is now new gifts, right? Mom and Dad, in the guise of Santa, has now put all these gifts under the tree. They've already given you all the blessings under the tree. They're trying to bless you because they love you. And we've decided that on the day that we celebrate the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus, we want to actually pour out more blessing on those that we love. So we stack some things under the tree as much as we're able to, probably, you know. Hopefully, you know, we're not like going further in debt over Christmas. But we want to bless. How weird would it be if our kids ran down the stairs or they ran in the room and they go, oh, I hope and pray that I can open that present. Maybe, God, maybe there's one. Maybe mom and dad, is there one for me? Is it, you know, like if they came down the stairs and didn't understand that the gift was for them and that they were supposed to grab it and open it, it would be weird. Wait a minute, you're my son, right? You're my daughter, right? You see your name on it? Yes, that's yours. I mean, maybe we got one of them playing elf and they're going to hand out all the presents, right? And then we open them all together. That's kind of our tradition, right? But if they sat there with the presents in their lap and they're like, I don't feel good enough to open this blessing, If they sat there with a blessing in their lap and they said, are you sure it's for me? Your name's on it. As a parent, I'd start getting annoyed. I'm like, no, really, like, just open it. Let's go. I'm waiting to see your smile. Mom's got the video camera out. This is on tape. We're going to play this back at your wedding reception. Now, you know, like, this is good moments. The reality is that God has all of these blessings waiting for us. But we come as orphans. We don't believe that we're good enough to receive it. And we don't believe that we could hear his voice well enough to know what to do with it. And God's saying, just open the gift. Just open the gift I've given you. He's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places for us to live in it, walk in it, attain it, live it out right here and right now. The process is about knowing him and being a son. There is something special in this season about learning how to walk, hearing his voice. Just ended a couple weeks speaking on ask, seek, and knock, and this concept that we need to ask for knowledge and get that and seek understanding. And then when we knock, this is the skill, the wisdom to say, hey, we're going to open the door and to, you know, actually build the thing that God has us to build from Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. It is his good will that you're adopted as a son. And since you're a son, you're no longer afraid to open the blessing. And since you're a son, you've received a spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Papa God, Daddy. There's an intimacy there that Deion Sanders is modeling with his son on a large national scale, and he doesn't care what anybody thinks about it because he's like, this is who I am. There's this sonship that Jesus walked in that we are to walk in with him. So you're blessed, you're chosen, and you've been adopted. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. It's easy to forget the simplicity that we've made our identity about what we do. We've made our identity about all the things surrounding our gifts and our calling or maybe my theological train or whatever. We treat those things as identifiers, but no, we're sons. We're sons.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.